Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106. Mike, thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Hour number two is now underway. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with me, your show host. All you got to do is text me, and we'll get to your text here in just a moment. Coming up on the program this morning, Joey Clark. That's in about 30 minutes from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, our Wednesday regular. And at 11 o'clock hour, Scott Stedding, and he's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, also a member of the Alabama legislature. He'll join us. We'll talk about closed primaries, and I get his read on where that is. So please make sure you stick around for that. I'm going to go to these texts here. This is from unnamed texter, kind of lengthy text. Tommy Tuberville single-handedly committed the largest political blunder in Alabama politics yesterday by handing Doug Jones the governorship. By telling people to stop complaining about data centers and that he wants more of them. This is a bipartisan issue backed by the right and the left, the left and right. He told the people of this state we need to get no voice, that he has no intent of representing the people. I'll never cast a vote for a Democrat, but I will leave my ballot blank for Governor Blank and let what comes be what may, signed the Patriot. So I'm going to tell you something, that Tommy Tuberville's not going to lose the gubernatorial election over this. This is an honest question. What is the real fear of the data center? And let's talk to Dale Jackson, as I do on Wednesday. He brought up the same thing. He says, well, why would Tommy Tuberville give a gift to Doug Jones? And I do have some questions about that. Like, well, you know, was this response really something you should have said, even if you believe it? But he laid it out there and he was honest about it. I guess there's something to say about that. But it's like, let's look at the big picture here. The data center. What is it? How does it suit? Where does it fit in society? We are very, very reliant on the internet in our society, our economy. The way we get information now. We don't get newspapers. We don't even use cable. We are, you know, antenna, rabbit ears. That our primary means of communication is this electronic means. Your smartphone. Society's going in that direction. And as it goes more in that direction, you're going to get more AI in your life. People using ChatGPT or Claude or, you know, all these different Alexa, Siri. All of this is going to be more prominent in our lives. But so the data center, maybe it imposes this, it has some local drawbacks. But I feel like ultimately, like AI, they're going to build these data centers somewhere, and they're going to build them. Now, what's important is that they're done in an environmentally sound way. This is kind of interesting, this North Mobile data center. Don't you have to drive by, like, a lot of heavy manufacturing? This certainly leaves I would think a much bigger footprint on the environment than a data center. I mean, you got a power plant, you know, steel, a stretch of 43, and that's where they want to put this. But because it's a data center, there's some kind of connotation that it's worse than all of that. Why? How? Why would we tolerate any other manufacturing, but not this? Okay, so let's tackle the utility side of this. I don't know about the water part. I think that's embellished, but I don't have hard, fast sound data. The electricity part to me is very interesting. So for years in North Alabama, they wanted to take what they wanted to, the Carter administration in the late 70s decided they were going to build a nuclear power plant in North Alabama in Jackson County, right outside of Scottsboro. And then it never really came together. TVA did not ever complete it, but they built the infrastructure, the cooling towers. They built everything where you could have that. And it still sits there today. It's called Bellefonte. In 2017, 18, 19, the private sector wanted to come in and make that an operational nuclear power plant. They wanted to start producing electricity there. And so what we were told, that there just wasn't demand. There wasn't that much demand for that electricity. We didn't need that electricity. The grid didn't need it. It was just going to, you're just going to be creating electricity that no one was going to use. Not saying that, okay, let's build a power plant now, but I do think that we are leaving a lot of capacity on the table. We're leaving a lot of electricity generating capacity on the table in places, and in places that wanted it, they wanted to build that power plant up there because we're told there's no demand. But then as a matter of public policy, where we know that there are circumstances where you can manufacture electricity, then we just don't have enough for data centers. So we had to build solar farms and whatever. So you question this. I don't think we have a really good grasp of the utility economy in this state. I think it's intentional. I think that explains some of why utility rates are so high relative to the rest of the South. Some of it's government policy. There's something off about this when it talk about power and electricity and generating electricity. We should be able to produce a lot more. The other thing about data centers, an economist was telling me a little, you know, that like in America, we've gotten away from manufacturing. A lot of this manufacturing that we used to do here, where we used to build things, it's gone overseas just because of cheaper labor. What happened to all that capacity? If you don't have a textile mill, if you don't have Vanity Fair in Monroe County, for example, you're not producing undergarments or, you know, what they produce there. What happens to that electricity? What happens to that demand? That you're having the Rust Belt, all of this manufacturing go away, and you're not using as much energy. So why wouldn't you, like, you still have that capacity? It still exists. You should still be able, there should be room for these data centers without a tangible impact on your power bill. And you know, appliances and the things we use for electricity for are becoming way more efficient now. But big picture, and it's like really thinking about this, the way AI is supposed to work is supposed to make your life better. Now, there's always the economic factor and big business. I get all of that. But these technological improvements, they're hard to stop. So you think about this, like when they started producing gasoline refineries, did the horse and buggy people say, what are you doing here? When they started moving in this direction, do we not think that the way we do data, the way we store data, it's going to get more efficient over time? Data storage will become cheaper and smaller. but also it's going to make your life better in the long haul. I believe. I mean, it's what technological advances do. They change things and people get set in their routines and they don't like to change them. But we will be a more productive society out of a lot of this. So I'm not like for or against data centers. I'm not big data centered. No one's writing me a check to say any of this. But I do kind of think that somehow this data center boogeyman is really... It's really interesting to me because I just don't think it's this evil that it's made out to be. Now, they use a lot of resources. They don't employ a lot of people. Look, the other part of this is if someone wants to sell their land and someone wants to build a data center on it, they ought to be able to. If you're in a rural part of the state, if you're in unincorporated Alabama and the zoning regulations are what they are, I mean, obviously you can't come in and build a hazardous waste facility. But if you could show that you're not leaving this this environmental footprint that's harmful to the population there, then there's a manufactured boogeyman here. And maybe it's because people don't really understand it. But the thing about data centers is, yes, they have a lot of construction jobs that they create. And they do have a positive economic impact. What we don't need to be doing is giving tax abatements away for these things. We don't need to be giving them government freebies to come here and locate. But if they want to locate here, they want to be productive in our economy and productive in our society and give back to the state, then sure, evaluate what kind of impact they'll have on your day-to-day life. But is it any different than any other big manufacturing facility that certainly is going to produce way more pollution? Sort of long-winded, but I'm not trying to make excuses for Tommy Tuberville. That probably was not a smart thing, political campaign to run on, but I don't think he's going to lose. Derek, I find this odd. Unless Republicans also use this weed out a candidate they don't like, I don't know, just odd. Unless they also use it as a tool. They're already using it as a tool. They already can do that. And they don't like a candidate. The Republican Party doesn't like someone who qualifies as a Republican Party. There are ways they can kick them off the ballot. We've seen it a bunch of times. We've seen guys who maybe supported someone who ran as a Democrat in a nonpartisan election up in Tuscaloosa, for example. Trip Powell was going to run against Gerald Allen. And I think he'd given money to Walt Maddox's mayoral campaign. Well, because Walt Maddox had ran for governor as a Democrat years earlier, that, in the eyes of the steering committee, was a disqualifier. They already have ways to do this. Spend my dollar. So I don't know if that's necessarily really hits at what they're trying to get at with closing the primaries. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line fits my life, oh so right, my Dixieland
line. More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off.
Thank you for being with us on
I could chew.
This Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me, Fire Dog. That's an easy question to answer. If you say your mother is white, your father's born in Kenya, you have a D behind your name. You're black. If both your parents are from Kenya, you vote Republican, then you count as white. See how that works? All depends on what is the color of your skin. See here. KCC sends me a blank text. Squirrelverine says, Alabama having black mayors, managers, police chiefs counter all the racial discrimination claims. Yeah, because, well, the mayors are elected, and they are the ones who get to make these appointments. Well, one thing I'd say, I think, like, the way this works, Squirrelverine, is that they're making their decision based on qualifications that aren't in statute. And you don't need the state of Alabama telling you to include these people. The eye texture, be inclusive, doesn't remove qualifications requirements. The problem is this loon doesn't believe anyone darker than tan has ever qualified. See, I don't. The qualifications requirements, sure, but the best qualified person should get the job, regardless of skin color. Why is this like a criteria? Why does saying that, okay, you have two people, and because this person is black or African-American, let's say, in the law, then they get preferential treatment? Sean, the purpose of government is to protect and grow government. It seems that way, doesn't it? Mike, I think that Israel and Trump Zionist advisors use the same manipulation tactics as were used during COVID. They say how easily it was to control Trump administration through fear-mongering and saw their opening to expand Israeli territory and didn't care about the consequences. That's why no real clear objective and no goalposts are constantly moved with regard to the Iran conflict. Ultra Runner, I think Trump could not resist was presented. Israeli intelligence correctly had all of Iran's leadership in one place. A clean decapitation is a rare offering. Anyone who has read The Art of the Deal knows what Trump would do with that offer. Data centers, energy costs rise. But why don't we just produce more electricity then? Zoning loopholes in regards to power supply. The laws need to be revised to accommodate data centers, and end of story. Let's see. Unnamed texter, our Jeffers Spanish Fort says, the issue is that they're not telling us what the data centers are really for. They're just saying data centers. Maybe you could add that to the law. Dirt Digger, the reason we don't have great paying jobs is because now the Democrats let our jobs go to other countries, but the government keeps taxing us so much. Let's see here. You don't think they got intelligence from Israel? He lost my vote, not to mention Iran data centers or police state. You're very uninformed on this. Go listen. He was talking about sheriffs all from all over the state. They want it. Come on, man. Try. Vanity Fair and appliances. That's it. Thanks for clearing it up. Paying you not to look. Okay, well, when you're going to talk to me in a kind of stream of consciousness, then I'm not going to be able to respond. Let's see. Paul, surveillance of the individuals is the reason for the exponential need for greater storage space. One of the reasons, the chamber says, the ones coming near here are not getting incentives. Let me say this, though. The deep state is going to build their data centers. If the government wants to build a data center, guess what they're going to do? They're just going to do it. Whether or not data centers are perfectly fine, but who's pays for the utilities of these data centers, because the unincorporated Alabamian, the utilities needed do not exist. Not just one day data center, but to with that data center needs throughout the state to operate. We are feeling the effect of the data center in Montgomery being built in Baldwin. And then Jason writes, just odd to me, they'd sell a new arena as family friendly and open to that. As Pastor Johnson comment, oh, here we go. I got to go back. Good morning, Jet. Do you see the announcement of the gay comic as the opening for the new arena as another attempt to the city leadership to pander to the rainbow crowd like we saw with the banner? Well, I saw that, but I don't read into that so much. The arena ought to be open to all, and including a gay comic. If people want to see a gay comic, so be it. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, time. And in one day you will be customer.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. More of your texts on the way. I'm getting a lot of pushback here. But, you know, and everybody keeps bringing up the data center power. Well, they're paying power bills just like you and I. And how much could that be? I know, you know, you can't build a data center unless it has electricity to operate. So I don't know. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Joining us now on the line from News Talk 93.1 News and Views, Joey Clark is with us. Joey, how are you?
Doing great. All those folks, by the way, text you and research all that information on data centers using the power of data centers.
I know. But I think, like, I know, like, short term, there may be some consequences. I'm not denying that. But, like, ultimately, as technology advances, your life's going to improve. I mean, that's just the course of human history. We figure things out, and you have a better quality of life. These data centers, you know, are ultimately going to, I think, serve the society. Or they're just a necessary part of society, but the technology is going to serve society in profound ways.
I tend to agree with you. And if there is any pushback, it should be in a very informed, localized way. Like, are we getting the best bang for the buck as a local community? What are the actual effects? But I feel like the data centers become this symbol for the very real and warranted populist rage that's out there in our country. So the data center is sort of the thing you could look at and let that angst out.
It's weird to me because there's so, and I know y'all have y'all's data center there that people are, you know, kind of lamenting. And the one they want to build in North Mobile County, you got to pass like a coal power plant. You got to pass like a steel plant. There's all of this like heavy industrial manufacturing right around it. And we're going to sweat the data center. It to me, like, yeah, sure, it's going to leave an environmental footprint. But this data center, however, is, you know, it'll have an environmental impact, but it not nearly the environmental impact the other heavy manufacturing does around, you know, in that area. And here's the other thing, Joey, like we as a economy, the more globalized we've gotten, the electrical capacity, I think it's getting, there's more of it because we're just not making as much stuff. We're not using that electricity. So they plug in a data center. How is a data center going to use up more electricity than, say, like the place that was building automobiles or, you know, assembling right. automobiles or whatever? There's things here that we're not really fully evaluating.
Yeah, and then I think it's become kind of a symbol to rail against big tech. And also, you'd look at it, like, at least somebody, I'd imagine, if they see, like, a manufacturing plant can really easily conceive of jobs and people working in that manufacturing plant, if not themselves. I don't think you get that same thing translated with a data center. But I mean, I largely think this is the future. We are going in this direction. I do get a kick out of how, you know, because people want to think of it as like, you know, they pave paradise to put up a parking lot. But instead of it just being like disturbing rural farm areas like the Shire, what you're really getting is, how dare you replace this industrial timber operation with a data center? How dare you replace this landfill operation with a data center? And it's like, guys, we have industrial interests and needs in Alabama. We had for a long time. And I'm not against locals that actually have property adjacent right there showing their concern and investigating what a particular project will do. But just in general, like, to yell and scream at the concept of data center seems so.
Well, I just don't know where this comes from. It's a strange thing to me that it's the boogeyman that it is. I'm not pro data center. I'm not anti data center, but I do think that we're not really evaluating this. That the things that are the negatives that we are told are the negatives are things that we are already doing. You already have, you know, like I say, manufacturing that leaves a big environmental footprint. And you know, like when they bring in these manufacturing facilities, they're often met with ribbon cuttings and parades and pomp and circumstance. Now, that's because they're putting people to work. I get it, and these things aren't, but the adverse reaction to it, the sort of like this is going to just upset everything, and we're all gonna mutate into strange beings because of it. I don't know where this fear comes from.
I think it's somewhat just the internet age. Throw it in there with a lot of the conspiracies, and a lot of the conspiracies are kind of true over the years. But the problem is people can't exactly point to it. I'd imagine it's just that. Also Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, I saw him talking about this the other day, and Coach Tuberville was very much echoing this, said a lot of the stuff you're seeing online are foreign interests, especially China, that want to win in the AI data center race. So if you can hamstring the United States in all sorts of different ways by making their population not want to do data centers and not want to go with the AI race, that's not a bad strategy. And it seems like a plausible thing, more plausible than the Ruskies won the 2016 election. So, but real quick, Jeff, like one of my biggest takeaways from this, because we're talking about it today because of, I'd imagine, Coach, what Tuberville said.
Right.
It's so refreshing. Like, even if you hate data centers, you're listening to this and you have good study reason to hate data centers, thank God Tuberville's already waking this state up. He's not even governor yet. And it actually just made me kind of smile seeing him start to make headlines in a lot of different ways, that finally we're going to have somebody at the leadership position in the state. Even if you don't like what he says or love what he says, he's going to say it outright. He's going to say it in a plain way. He's going to let you know where he stands. And he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers in the process. I think that's really good because we've been asleep for a decade in this.
Well, yeah, because here's the difference between Tommy Tuberville and Kay Ivey. Kay Ivey just would have done it. She wouldn't have said anything about it. You would have woke up one morning if this had been in the Ivey administration and there would have been a data center there. And then we would have had no public discourse about it. It just would have happened. Coach, for better or for worse, gets out there and says, hey, we're going to do this. You might as well get used to it.
Yeah, I love it. I think he's going to be that, like the recent things he said about the Department of Corrections. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff he says that I personally disagree with, but it's refreshing to see a guy who actually will get out there and create the public discourse, because there's been a lot of rotten things done.
Yeah, for 10 years now, we've had a governor who doesn't feel like she has any accountability to the public. We haven't seen her in five. She hasn't done a press conference in 5 years. She doesn't do interviews. She hasn't done one of those in 2 years. And even before, when she was doing it, was just with our friend Todd Stacey on Capital Journal. So we're going to have a governor who at least try to be accountable. But some of the stuff that's gone on in the state, we've done it, and we never got to talk about it. We didn't get to talk about the West Alabama corridor. We didn't get to talk about the prison plan and how, one day the public's told it's $600 million, and then a year later it's $1.2 billion. I mean, it's just things like this. They just sort of happen under this governor. And I guess they're going to happen under Tuberville, but at least he won't run away from them.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's stuff, especially conservatives, and I think I'm more and more in this camp after being pretty libertarian on this for years. I think the gambling thing's probably coming right out the chute.
I agree.
And I don't know exactly where Coach stands on it, but I think I'm pretty certain his position is let the people vote. I don't know what the larger position will be, because the devil will be in the details of that. But that's going to be interesting. Again, for better or for worse, at least it's moving the ball and getting things shaken up. And probably it may be healthy for the state to at least visit this in a big public way instead of the legislature come up with their latest thing that barely doesn't pass.
I mean, it's just like this. And this is it. Like, the one time Governor Ivey was handed an L was 2019. It was a definite L where they had to ditch the toll. They had to walk away from this toll plan. Well, lo and behold, here we are at the tail end of her administration. She's going to go forward with it anyway, and it's going to be an even more expensive toll than what we were told. And so, did we have the town hall meetings? Did we talk about this? Were there any, we all agree we need a new bridge down here. Did we talk about a $7.70 each way toll? You know, no, it just sort of, it seems like it's things like this just sort of happen with this governor.
Yeah, and it's some people are talking, but it's not the general public being informed on it.
No, because most of the public will not know that it's going to be that much until they go try to cross the bridge.
Right, right. And I think it's also, it's not just the governor's office. I think we've got a lot of almost or full-on octogenarians running things, and they've been running things the way they run things for a long, long time. And it's another hope with Tuberville that it won't just be him replacing Ivy. You might get a lot of leadership, a lot of knocking heads together at, say, the cabinet level and the department level.
Yeah, I think they're going to clean house. I think the legislature is going to give or has given the next administration the ability just to kind of fire people. They're going to see just a revamp of state government. There's going to be – the problem is that people are kind of used to the way of doing things they have for the last decade and beyond. And I just don't think that that's good. The status quo is long for this world.
Yeah, thank God. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, I begin my show every day talking about Montgomery needs a new mayor. Well, maybe Montgomery gets a new mayor. Maybe it doesn't next year when we vote locally. But maybe if Montgomery gets a new governor, it'll help even with the city issues. And I could see some of those issues on crime, especially in Montgomery and Birmingham. Tuberville's not going to shy away from it the way Ivy has.
Well, I mean, like, at least your mayor, you tried to hire Donald Watkins Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah, or something. And, I mean, you know, there is at some point when people find out about things, there's an accountability mechanism, and that stops it. The problem with these data centers, so they're building them in these unincorporated areas where the zoning restrictions are very lax, and they want some people in the public want the government to step in and tell them no, but like we start doing that and you start infringing on private property rights. How far do you think this government would take it?
Oh, and it wouldn't be to the people's benefit either. You gave the government that power, maybe gets like pushed through, in the name of helping the little guy,
right.
But over the long run, it would be, it'll be your worst nightmare.
I mean, you give county governments the ability to say no to data centers, and then they'll just say yes to data centers and you won't have any say. There's going to be, what I don't like is I don't want any tax abatements or economic incentives. I've always hated that racket, but the thing about it is, and I think like water, we talk about utilities, and this is a lot of people's fear that it's going to make their power bills go up. But I think the state could produce more electricity if it needed to. And it could produce more enough to lower the price, so you could increase the supply and lower the price per kilowatt hour. But they seem in this state to have been resistant to that.
Yeah, and beyond, like, because I think that's possible on sort of the technological front, and it's also been done in other states. In fact, that was the thing Bergen was talking about with North Dakota. They built a huge data center, and they actually increased water production and power production and power capacity. Not saying every data center that goes up does that, but it's possible. But beyond, like, the feasibility of actually getting those things done, I think there is a general distrust out there.
Yeah, fair.
And I don't know. You said, where is this coming from data centers? I think it's just the zeitgeist on everything from data centers to, you know, war to Charlie Kirk. Like, it's just, there's always, don't believe your own eyes. Believe, you know, the latest theory on stuff, even though there's no way to prove it. I don't know. It's a... as much as we were praising the new media environment for 2024 and it seemed to work, man, now that you don't have just the Democrats or Biden to run against, people are just tearing each other apart.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we do. Conservatives fight amongst themselves. Liberals have avoided that. They just oppose, I guess, you know, just sort of in this Trump era. But, you know, at least... if we're going to argue about like fundamentally conservatism as it pertains to these local issues like this, then like you really got to have an honest conversation about it. Sometimes I feel like, hey, we just need big government to step in here and take charge here of something we just don't want. And I think you got to be really, really careful with that declaration.
Yeah, and I think there's a way to have enough pushback where you get a, say, cut from these big guys without completely running them off or completely rolling them
off. Yeah, make them put back into the community. You could tax them. Sure. You know, we could pass a data center tax or whatever. I mean, if we want to do gambling because it's going to help the school kids, well, we could do data centers to help the school kids. But, you know, that's the price of doing business in places.
Data centers for the children.
Think about how great that would be. That's you know, you guys listening out there who are trying to prop up these data centers with your propaganda, that's how you win it. You do it for the children.
Yeah, always for the kids.
Yeah, you want to raise your gas tax, we got to have bridges to carry school buses across. You know, just that's the way. Watch, maybe that's coming and we haven't seen it yet. Hey, Joey, folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen, on news from News Talk 93.1's News and Views. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Where you get off, boy, because I'm going back to Alabama. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mr., many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mr., Mr. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Ripper, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Ultra Runner. I did not know the comic was gay. I really want to know if he was funny. We can't rail against identity politics and use identity as a disqualifying factor. Yeah, it's just kind of an odd choice, but whatever. I mean, that's what people are going to buy tickets for. And so be it. They need to get the ball rolling on that arena. They got a lot of making up to do. I mean, man, you know, just Mobile over the years has needed a venue like this. And let's hope it works out. Mike, they everyone is upset about the data centers because people are saying they will raise temperature by 20 degrees everywhere within 10 miles. Also, it's being said that the water discharge is actually what's turning frogs gay. But it's really just most of these Karens are easily manipulated and are always looking for the next thing to be mad at. Yeah, I've heard this about the temperature rising around the data centers. And I just like, guys, you don't realize how big this planet is and what it can accommodate. Jerry, that's your friend, Todd Stacy. Okay, Jerry, thank you for that. I named Texter, we talk a lot about the West Alabama corridor getting bonded by future gas tax revenue. Is there any possible way for the future governor to put a stop to it, or are we hamstrung until the balance is fully paid off? It's a great question. So the bonding has to be used on that particular project. If Tommy Tuberville came in and says, okay, we have this pot of money, we're not going to spend any more on it, let's go spend it on widening system. He can't do that. He can't widen another road or do something else with it. However, what they could do is they would pay it back. They would just take the money and pay it back against the bond. The problem is then it becomes cost prohibitive. You're paying penalties and you're actually losing money. So the toothpaste is out of the tube and you're essentially trying to put it back in. And that's where the problem lies on that. And they text, we love data centers and we'll agree to whatever your government tells us. You and your guests are like patriots with brains the size of peanuts. It's crazy how brazen you and the officials on your show are. Telling us we the people don't matter is what you think. The big money tells officials who represent we the people, then we the people don't get a voice, then we are wrong for having an issue for that. You and your friends are all tyrants. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm part of your we the people crowd here. And I can have an opinion just like you on data centers, okay? I'm not a government official. For whatever reason, Sean Sullivan gave me a microphone and a time on this station. But as a we the person here, I can say that I don't get it with the data center pushback. You may disagree with me if you like, but that's how this works. That's why this is the Jeff Poore Show. You're getting my opinion. We don't love data centers. We just don't understand, like, where all of this is coming from, this pushback against them, especially with some of this stuff that's just false, okay? We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.